I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He finds me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Before our prayer this morning, we'll sing number two. Number two.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim, all his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars. Bless and praise the dear Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let him praise him, give Jehovah. They were made at his command. Then forever he established, his decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O praise Jehovah, all ye mighty dragons all, fire in heaven.
Father who art in heaven, once again, Lord, we approach your mighty throne of grace, being so grateful and so thankful, Father, for another day that the Lord has made. We have this day and this time before us on hand that we can rejoice in this day. Thanking you, Father, that the church doors was open this morning and that we all were able to enter in to fellowship one with another, to sing songs and to make melody in our hearts. And more important, Father, we thank you that we can praise Jehovah, giving him honor and glory, and you being his heavenly Father and loving him as you loved us, and allowing him to die the most excruciating death by crucifixion. Thanking you, Father, for his precious blood, his soul-cleansing blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're so grateful and so thankful, Father, to honor him. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bestow upon each and every precious soul for the year of 2024 the best of health and strength, giving each and every one of us all of the abilities that we need to provide for ourselves and our families. Lord, we remember and we are grateful and we're thankful for our men and our women in the armed force, our law enforcement that protect us and that risk their lives day by day for the safety and welfare of our country. And Lord, at this time, we remember all the precious souls that are on our prayer list. We thank you, Father, that they have you, that when they are suffering, there are days that might not be joyful, their needs, they can talk to someone and ask for strength, peace, and tranquility. We thank you, Father, and we trust you that, knowing that you're more than capable of providing for taking care of all their needs. And Lord, we are thankful for the message that Brother Gilbert has prepared, and thanking you, Lord, for giving him the strength and the desire to share your holy and divine word with each and every one of us. We're so grateful and thankful, Father, that we have ears to hear it, and that we'll let it direct our steps and our thoughts and all our endeavors that are for good. We pray, Father, this morning that all that we do and all that we say here on this day will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
To further prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 300.
When I survey the
sorrow and love flow. We have this opportunity to come together and to partake of the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. As we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. You know, as we go through this life, and as long as we have lived on this earth, there's so many things that we do each and every day. A lot of things that we do, we don't think too much of it. Some things we partake in, it's not that big of a deal. But when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we can't partake of the Lord's Supper in that manner. For it's far too important and has too much significance to each and every one of us as Christians. This Lord's Supper that was instituted on the night of our Lord and Savior Jesus' betrayal. It's a time for us to clear our minds, to not be thinking of anything else, but to reflect on that sacrifice that he made on each and one of our behalf. If we don't do that, if we were to rush into this, if we didn't think this was that big of a deal, if we was thinking about something else, then we would be guilty of taking this in an unworthy manner. So as we are preparing to partake of the Lord's Supper, let us keep that in mind, let us clear our minds, and let us reflect on that sacrifice. We have two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on the first day of the week, to be able to come together and share the partaking of the Lord's Supper with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be able to take this opportunity to reflect on that sacrifice, Heavenly Father, to reflect on your great plan of salvation when you sent unto this world your only begotten Son, Jesus, for his willingness to give his life on that cross when he himself was without sin, that he was willing to give his life to endure the humiliation, to endure the pain, to ultimately give his life when he could have saved himself from that fate, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we partake of the bread, that we partake of it in a way and a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blood that was spilt on our behalf, the love that was shed so willingly and so lovingly that we might be able to be with you in heaven one day. Father, we thank you that your Son was so willing to give himself for on our behalf that we might be able to be free of sin. Father, we thank you for showing us this love and to be able to remember you each and every first day of the week as you have shown us how to do. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you'll raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And we can also read of the way in which we should give, 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. You know that we know that God can see, and you know, he can read our every thoughts. He can see into our hearts. So as we give, let us not just be focused on the, you know, physically putting money into the trays, but let us give from our hearts, to not do so grudgingly, to not do so of necessity, but to do so cheerfully. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to give back. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for first for giving us life, for allowing us to rise from our beds this morning, allowing us to enjoy this life, to enjoy all that you provide for us, to be able to marvel at all that we see, all that you have created, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for providing us with our health, Heavenly Father, for giving us the will, for giving us all of our abilities, Heavenly Father, giving us the talent that we can go out and that we can work and that we can provide for all our loved ones, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful for this opportunity to come together, Heavenly Father, to be able to come better, to give back, to be able to give back and show our appreciation for all the many blessings that you have given us, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to give, that we'll do so in a way and a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us mark 860 sound of invitation this morning. Before the lesson, we'll sing number 84. Let us stand as we sing this song.
When other things are ahead, the burden creatures we can stand, the thorns that go about our spread, God holds the future in His hand.
The sermon today is God Who Forgives and Forgets, and the scripture reading will be taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 33 through 37, and our speaker will be our brother Gilbert Baldwin. Now Luke 4, 33 through 37, I'll be reading from the King James Version. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And now our brother Gilbert Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. It is a delight to see everyone and to be in the Lord's house. Certainly, we are thankful to the great God of heaven for blessing us, keeping his watchful eye and his hand around us. He's been mighty good to us. You know, when you sleep at night, you're slumbering and snoring and whatever it is you do, God stays awake and he keeps watch above us all night long. And we just serve a good God. He's worthy of our devotion. He is worthy of our praise. So good to see everyone who is able to be here today for this service. First service of our new year. We're certainly thankful to God for all of our visitors. We say welcome. We're always happy to welcome our visitors, and we hope that your visit today is going to be uplifting and rewarding for you. We hope this visit is so good that you're going to come back and be with us again. Glad that you are here. Glad that you're not like the man who woke up one Sunday morning and said, I'm not going to church today. As a matter of fact, I'm never going again. Well, you know, his wife was excited about going to church. She was heartbroken when she heard that. She said, you got to go to church, you know. And said, come on, honey, get on up out of the bed. You got to go. He said, well, you give me three reasons why I should go. He said, well, you know, I tell you what, I don't like going down to that church because people down there just don't like me. I don't like going down there because it's really too far away from the home. And said, the third reason is, you know, I just don't feel comfortable when I'm at church. She said, oh, come on, get out of the bed. You got to go to church. He said, well, you give me three reasons why I should go. She said, well, the church is not that far away. It's only 4 or 5 blocks from here. People down there, they do like you. And besides all of that, honey, you got to go because you are the preacher. You know? So I'm glad you are not like that preacher. Glad that you've come today, ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. God is good. He's been with us since the beginning. He is the written word of God, and Jesus is the living word of God. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. Verse 14. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so in this dispensation, if you want to be saved, you've got to listen to and obey the words of Jesus. If you want to get to God, you've got to come through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So he speaks through his Son. If you're here today and you want salvation, you've got to listen to, you've got to obey the words of Jesus. You know, our faith is built upon what Jesus had said. That's why we believe this is God's holy and divine word. You know, it takes faith for salvation. You got to believe something. Now, that word believe is a Latin word. It means to transfer trust. And that's what God wants all of us to do, is to transfer our trust into Him. He wants us to realize that when we can't see where we are walking, when we can't touch things that we need, He says, just believe in me, trust in me, and I'll make sure you have a sure foundation under you. So today we want you to know that God wants us to transfer our trust into Him. So with that in mind, let us go to the Bible, back to the Bible, to our scripture text for today. Fed into your hearing were verses 33 through 37 of Luke chapter 4. My subject for today, God who forgives and forgets. Coming to the mind and the spirit of mankind is a relentless pursuit for a relationship with God. It's not enough for God to be a theological abstraction. It's not enough for God to be some kind of cosmic landlord who stops by periodically to collect the tithes and the offerings of his rent. It is not enough for God to be some kind of galactic, universal, Star Wars kind of giant who sits high and looks low, who holds the world in the palm of his hand. If God is going to be our God, we need a God who is always with us, a God who knows all about us, knows about our needs, and He's able to fulfill those needs. We need a God, as our ancestors used to say, is nearer than breathing and closer than hands and feet. That's what we're talking about, God who's with us. We need a God who's immanent and transcendent. We need a God who was, who is, and who always will be. God who will walk with us and talk with us and can assure us that everything is going to be all right. God who walks with us in the shadow of death. God who would order our steps by His word. A God who will be our mother when our mother is gone. God who will be our father when our father is gone. God forbid if we are in the hospital, the doctors walk out shaking their heads. We need a God who will stay in the room with us. God who knows all about our troubles. We don't have to worry about hearing it down the street. More than anything, we need a God who will forgive and will forget. He'll forget our mistakes. He'll forgive us for our missteps. He'll forgive us if we ask for forgiveness when we displease Him. And we need a God who will give us a second chance. Oh, I know I'm right about it. When I look back in the Bible and I see a man by the name of David. David over there in Psalms chapter 30 in the verses 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That sounds like a second chance to me. Then I look at old Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah had a problem over there. God gave Isaiah a second chance. Over there in Isaiah chapter 6, the verses 1, it says, in the days of the death of King Uzziah, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole world is full of his glory, and the posts of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I also heard a voice, the voice of the Lord, saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Over there in Isaiah chapter 40 and the verses 31, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Not only that, I know that the Lord gives second chances. When I look a little further, I see Adam and Eve. God gave them a second chance. I see old Abraham. Abraham told a lie. He said his wife was his sister. God gave him another chance. See old Jacob. Jacob was a swindler. God gave him another chance. Moses. Moses was a murderer, but God gave him another chance. David. David was an adulterer and a murderer, but God gave him another chance. Jonah. Jonah was a fugitive, on the run from God, but God gave him another chance. Peter denied the Lord three times. God gave him another chance. Paul, when he was Saul, persecuted the church of God, but God gave him another chance. I'm trying to get you to see this morning that we serve a God who gives second chances. So in our text today, we find a man who is in the synagogue. He's in the church house. See, I want to start in the church house today because a lot of times you find people in the church who need just as much help as those on the outside of the church. So if we are to win people over to Jesus, we got to go out of here reflecting Jesus all over us. You know, we can't always get folk to come into the building, but we can get them to look at our lives, see the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering that we have. And they'll ask you, what is it about you that makes you love your enemies in spite of? What is it about you that makes you patient with your boss? What is it about you that makes you so joyful? And when you tell them, you say, I've got Jesus in my life, then they're going to ask you, well, I want to know, how can I get the Jesus that you have? That's when you got to tell them, I want you to come on. Study with me, because there are some things you need to obey if you want Jesus in your life. And so we see here, there's a man in the synagogue. This is prior to the Lord's church beginning. And the man had within him an unclean spirit. This man saw Jesus coming. He stopped doing whatever he was doing. We don't know what exactly he was doing, but evidently it was out of order, because Luke records the man had an unclean spirit. And when you're out of your mind, you'll do things that are uncharacteristic. You'll say things that are uncharacteristic. So here he was, full of the devil, cutting up in church. But when he sees Jesus, he stops whatever he's doing. He humbles himself before Jesus. He prostrates himself before the Lord. He acknowledges his power. He says, "We know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel." He says, "I know you, Jesus of Nazareth." What we need to recognize today is that the Lord has the power to call the devil from your life as well. He has the power to straighten you up, clean you up, use you to his glory. God put every one of us down here to bring glory to his name. Well, not everybody does that. But that's our purpose. That is our purpose for being here on earth. So this man, when he encounters Jesus, he humbles himself before the Lord. He acknowledges that he is the Son of God. He acknowledges his power. And when the Lord saw this man's attitude, he saw his humble spirit. And he saw this man acknowledge him and who he was and the power he possessed. The Lord spoke and said, "Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." He didn't have to say it 100 times. He didn't have to start shaking water on the man's head. You know how they do. He just said, "Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." That's the kind of power that he possesses. He just said, "Come out of the man." See, the Lord has power, not just in his word. He's got power in his voice alone. He could make things happen just by saying it. Remember when he went out there on the Sea of Galilee, talking to the rain and the wind, the thunder and the lightning? He said, "Peace be still out here." He wasn't playing. And immediately, everything calmed down, settled down, because Christ said, "Be still." So just like the Lord called the devil out of this man, he can call him out of our lives as well. You got a problem with alcohol? He can say, "Come out of that man." You got a problem with drugs? He can say, "Come out of that man. Come out of that man." But you've got to humble yourself. You've got to respect his power. Now, this is all prior to his death on the cross. He had some power. He had some power, but not all power yet. That's why God sent him down here. See, when he was at the wedding of Cana, remember that? He turned that water into wine. He had some power. Some power. When he restored a man's sight, he had some power. When he gave back the hearing to a deaf man, he had some power. When a woman touched the hem of his garment and was made clear of her infirmities, he had some power. One night he was out walking on water. He had some power. But he didn't have all power until he died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, rose up from the grave on the third day. Death, hell, and the grave, he had all power now. You know, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of this would be null and void. You think while he was dead, he's asleep. But even in death, he was still busy. I heard him say on the cross, "It is finished." He was talking about in life. But when he was dead, he was still busy. You know what he was doing? He was gathering up power, power over cancer, power over sugar diabetes, power over leukemia. He was gathering up power over multiple sclerosis, power over alcoholism, power over drug use, power over malice, gathering up power over jealousy. He did all of this. He was gathering up power. He had power, but he didn't have all power until he rose from the grave. So now here's a man in that church. This man needs a second chance. So he humbles himself. He acknowledges Christ. Jesus goes to work on this man's life. He gives him a second chance. Listen what they said after this great miracle. They said he speaks with authority and power. God gives second chances. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So you want a second chance today? You can have it, but you got to obey the words of Jesus. Got to listen to the words of Jesus. You know, men would tell you anything. You can listen to those fellows on TV. We call them television evangelists. I've listened to them. But I've never heard them tell you what you've got to do to be saved. They'll tell you a lot of things, where to send your money and all of that. You know? But they will not tell you what to do to be saved. I know some of you may be saying right now, "Well, I wouldn't talk about them if I were you." But you're not me, right? You're not me. You know, and I don't have to worry about it. Because I know God's word is not going to change. It's the same as it was. Somebody said, "Well, they've got all those people following them. They can fill up cathedrals and football stadiums." That doesn't make any difference. God's word is not going to change. And when you preach it like God said, you don't have to worry about anybody or anything. God gives second chances. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Lord's church started, there were no denominational churches in existence when that church started. It was some 300 years later. After the establishment of the Church of Christ, you know, when I talk about the Church of Christ, you find out it's called different names. It's called Household of Faith, different name, but you have to study. You have to study the Word to know what you're reading. Jesus is the founder of the church. He loves the church. He bought the church with his own blood. He gave his life for the church. He's coming back for the church. But there were no denominational churches in existence. Listen to this. A.D. 325, a man by the name of Constantine, he started the Catholic Church. Most of the denominations came out of the Catholic Church. Hear me now. 325, Constantine. And then Martin Luther. He didn't like some things that were going on in the Catholic Church, so he nailed his 95 theses on the door, and he left the Catholic Church. And he went and started the Lutheran Church. Then came John Calvin. He didn't like some things that were going on in the Catholic Church, so he pulled out. He started Calvinism, which we know today as the Presbyterian Church. Y'all following me? Then came the King of England. He was a Catholic. But he wanted a divorce so that he could marry a woman by the name of Anne Boleyn. But the Catholic Church would not grant him a divorce. So he said, wait a minute, I'm the king. He pulled out, gave himself a divorce, and he started the Church of England. Goes on and on and on. Now, if you're sincere, you may not have heard these things before. If you want to study, we'll be happy to study with you, because there's nothing more important than giving your life over to the Lord before it is too late. Nothing more important than that. So when you leave here today, tell somebody, I heard about the Lord today. Go back and tell somebody, those who saw you the way you were before, tell them you saw someone who can help you with your soul's salvation. You know, every day that we take a breath, that's God giving us another chance. Well, today, you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. If you are already in the body, but have strayed away, you've been unfaithful, you've done things you know you shouldn't have done, why don't you come back? Come back today. Be restored today. And so, while truth, love, and mercy linger, make that choice for Jesus while together we stand and sing.
Who at the door is standing,
I will.